Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. I'd like to welcome you to an exciting new series on the Qalam podcast, Quranic Reflections, where all of our instructors here at Qalam share their thoughts and insights, reflections, research in regards to various chapters and verses of the Quran. We hope and pray that this will become a very beneficial resource for people to develop an understanding of the Quran and to come closer to the Book of Allah. If this is of benefit to you, please visit supportqalam.com. Visit supportqalam.com and donate and contribute generously. That is what allows us to continue to do this work and deliver the understanding of Islam to as many people as possible all around the world. Now, go ahead and listen. Please share with family and friends. Wa jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وبعد. In the portion of the Quran that was recited last night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses five different topics. The first topic that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the nature of the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the role that Islam should play in an individual's life. The second topic Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses is actually the name because of which the surah is named after. And that is Surah Al-Imran, the family, the bloodline of Imran. Who was Imran? The family of Imran was Maryam radiallahu anha, her mother Hanna, and obviously Imran, the father, and Isa alayhi salam. The third topic Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses is societal decline. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about how you can trust certain individuals and other people you cannot trust. A fourth topic that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses is the battle of Badr and the battle of Uhud, and why is it that they came with different outcomes, results, and conclusions? We know in the battle of Badr, they were successful. In the battle of Uhud, initially they were successful, and afterwards, ostensibly, outwardly, it seems as though they were not victorious. And one final subject that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses is the need to contemplate over his creation. إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. These are five topics that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses in the recited portion last night. I want to briefly run through a few of them just so that we can get a gist of the message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to impart to you and I. The first one has to do with Maryam radiallahu anha. It talks about her birth, the birth of Isa alayhi salam, and the wish of her mother to give her only child or her upcoming child in the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do we learn from this? A few things. First and foremost, we learn what does it mean to prepare a family, to rear a family in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The mother of Maryam radiallahu anha, she did not know what was going to be the outcome of her pregnancy. Yet she said from before that whatever my child, whatever my womb bears is for the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But once she gave birth, lo and behold, it was actually a female. What did she have in mind? That if it was a male, I will definitely put it into the service of the temple. I'll put it in the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just like all the other males who work there. But when she realizes that it's actually a female, now she asks herself, what can I do? وَلَيْسَ ذَكَرُكَ الْأُنْثَى. That a female may not be able to discharge her duties like a male. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had a different plan. Allah says, فَتَقَبَّلَهَا رَبُّهَا بِقَبُولٍ حَسَنٍ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted her in the most beautiful of forms. And she managed to do what other men were unable to do. And eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses her as a means for Isa alayhi salam to come to this world. What are the lessons that we derive from this? Again, number one, what does it mean to prepare a family? It means that I will prepare a family well in advance. More often than not, parents who are concerned, they come to the respective scholars or people in charge with concerns. But when do they come? When it's too late. The child is already showing signs that, you know what, he's taking a wrong turn in life. Whereas our concern for the upbringing of our children needs to begin well in advance. Like the mother of Maryam, she began with a vision, a trajectory of what my child will do even before the child was born. The second thing it teaches us is women have a great role to play in our religion, in our deen. Historically, some of the greatest bearers of hadith were actually women. We all hear the name of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. She narrates roughly 2,000 hadith, which makes her among the top five to have narrated a hadith in the history of Islam. More than many other great sahaba, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates hadith. We definitely know the role of Khadija radiallahu anha. But there are many other figures whose accomplishments we may be unaware of. What are these accomplishments? Who are these people? I'll give two quick examples. One was among the Tabi'un. There was a female scholar, her name was Abida al-Madaniya. Abida al-Madaniya, rahimahullah ta'ala, was a servant in a particular individual's home. Yet, whenever she had free time, she went to the scholars of Medina and she learned hadith. To the point, it is said that she narrated over 10,000 ahadith. Her master was so pleased with what she had done that he had freed her and said that you now go and serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by educating the masses. Another example, some will say that this is from the lower people of the society. It was a servant. But there was another individual, her name was Zainab bint Sulaiman. She was a princess from the Abbasid dynasty. She was actually the niece of As-Saffar. As-Saffar was the one who founded the Abbasid dynasty. Now Zainab bint Sulaiman, she was a princess. Yet despite her high status, she took out time to educate herself and become a source of education for the other Muslim women of that society. So we learn that definitely when we want to impart education, and in our families, we think about who's going to play the role of being educated in our deen. We don't only think about our sons, we should also think about our daughters. When it comes down to educating, we have to be concerned of our mothers and sisters as well. And this is something that we need to take to heart in order to have a thriving community. Right? Leonard Sachs, he's a very famous physician, psychiatrist. He writes, after, you know, posing a number of statistics, that it is accepted throughout the board in secular education that women tend to succeed and go far beyond the results of males. Now, if that statistic, and hopefully it is true, let us incorporate that into our deen, that they can also be the most educated in our deen. They can be sources of education for all the other women out there as well. That's one thing that we want to focus on. The second theme that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses is the battle of Uhud and the battle of Badr. You know, scholars put it very beautifully. We know that in the battle of Badr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them immediate success. And in the battle of Uhud, although they did not receive immediate success, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had a different plan in mind for them. The ulama, the scholars, they say, what's the difference between the two? That in the battle of Badr, The Sahaba and us in extension, we learned what does it mean when we say La ilaha illallah. And in the battle of Uhud, through ostensible defeat, we learn what does it mean to say Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why is this the case? Because in the case of Badr, they had this firm conviction in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of which the numbers that they lacked meant nothing to them. The numbers that they lacked meant nothing to them. Whereas in the battle of Uhud, they were given instructions from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but the naked eye told them that, look, put that commandment to the side for a moment, we need to go and get the spoils of war. But through the defeat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught the Sahaba and us by extension a great lesson. What is that lesson? That Muhammadur Rasulullah, that just like you believe in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be well aware that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hence, you follow him like you follow the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So also in our day-to-day lives, just like we feel definitely, you know, a sense of conviction when we recite the Qur'an, but similarly, we should have a similar level of conviction in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the concluding verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. That indeed in the creation of the heavens and the earth, in the alternation between day and night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept for you and I a great sign. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Signs for the people of intellect. And this is very interesting. I'll mention 2 points and inshallah I'll conclude. I don't want to take too long. Number one, a lot of people, they ask this question, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not talk about technology in the Qur'an? You know, it would have been something that we could have read and it could have increased our iman. Instead, he talks about the heavens and the stars and he talks about the sun and the ocean. Well, the answer to that is very simple. The Qur'an is meant as guidance, not only for people who come to this world in the modern era. Rather, it is supposed to be a source of guidance for the entirety of mankind. Although many of us may feel that technological advancements are something which determines how strong my faith may be, but for 1400 years until this point, that was not the case. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants the guidance to be equally applicable to the rich, to the poor, to people before, people after, to men and women. But a greater lesson that we learn from these verses, and Imam Al-Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala, he teaches this very beautifully with an example and an analogy. What's the example? A person, at nighttime, he looks to the stars. And when he sees the stars, to the naked eye, the stars seem so small and insignificant. He'll just put his thumb over there and compare it with the size of the star. And to him, the star just seems like a speck of dust. And his thumb is even larger than that star. But Imam Al-Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala explains that this is a sign of the deficiency of mankind's senses and intellect. That mankind feels that I know everything, I can see everything, and I understand everything. But a simple observation to the heavens, to the stars in the sky, will reveal that he knows that that star seems something smaller than my thumb, but it can be even larger than the earth that I'm standing on. So what I see is one thing, but what's there is something different. And many a times the Sharia may teach us something, and from a distance, it seems very insignificant. But in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in reality, what seems distant and what seems very insignificant is much larger and more important than me. More important than what I deem important. Just like a star is larger than my earth, then what the Sharia is telling me is larger and more important than what I deem important. So these are some of the topics that were discussed. We read about Maryam radiallahu anha and her sacrifices. We read about the difference between Badr and Uhud. And finally, we understand the importance of contemplating over the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward everyone. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to benefit from the message of the Qur'an, internalize it, and make it the guiding compass of our lives. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.